Yeah.
Even you admit that, right?
That ship has sailed.
Yeah. I always found Stacy very attractive.
Because, really?
Yeah. Yeah. Very much
I
so.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, because I love brains. You know, I really do. And it is a turn on. And I always thought you were a worthy intellectual adversary.
So it was like the mating dance of gray matter.
Yeah. Yeah, and the wrong place at the right time or backwards, we could have had problems.
Well, I did not know that.
Oh, yeah.
But thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's like...
You know, that question, we did that on the air one time. Terry had asked me which one of the two of you that I would have fucked. And I said, oh, Lex.
Yeah.
Yeah. In a heartbeat.
I just looked at him like, are you kidding me?
Let me just, you know.
Yeah, it just comes down to who she hates the least.
Ding, 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 ding.
And that was easy.
Yes. You didn't need a big brain for that
no,
one.
No, uh-uh. No, but it's like, you know, my chick now was asking about you.
Uh-oh.
And, you know, she's just like, she's like, so where did you know her from and all that stuff? And I said, well, from she worked on the show with us and everything. And she says she was your favorite news chick. I said, oh, by far, not even close. You know, because there was the JFK Jr. episode for one thing, which was just a fucked up 15 minutes of radio like you wouldn't believe.
And, you know, to this day, I'm still really deeply disappointed. I understand why he did it, but Scott squished that down all to like about 2 minutes or so on that CD. Because people wouldn't have gotten like the minutes upon minutes.
No, I wish we had the whole thing because I would play that in a sudden death in a fucking heartbeat. You know, the leading up to it, the whole thing, you know, and probably I would have done some sort of monologue or explanation as to what's about to happen here, because it was just, I remember it like it happened yesterday.
Oh, me too. It's the stuff that like radio, you know, the radio dreams. When you have those looping dreams that, yeah, like a song has ended and you can't get back in the studio, yeah, fast enough and all you hear is the dead air.
I think I can paint the picture here. Picture Stacy, blonde, young, innocent, you know, kind of doughy baby eyes looking up into the sky, and then a bus hits her. That's pretty much what happened.
And, for those who were alive and cognizant at that time, of course, you remember when JFK Jr.'s plane crashed, and that was a huge deal then.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, that was like American royalty. He was young. He was hot. He had the beautiful wife. Everyone wanted to be him. Everyone wanted to be her. You know, they were just this magical couple.
Well, at that part of the newscast, he had not been found yet. He had just gone into the water the night before, and you did the story. And he had not been found yet. He was still kind of labeled as missing, but everybody knew he was probably in, you know, Chesapeake. Or what was the, not Chesapeake, but what's the bay there in Massachusetts?
No idea. Cape Cod.
Cape Cod,
I don't know.
There
I
you
don't...
go. There you go.
Oh, well,
yeah.
Here you go.
Nice. And, yeah, some New England shit, you know. And he was missing, but we all knew he was in the water. We all know he shouldn't have flew his own plane. You're a Kennedy, for Christ's sake.
And famous.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
You know, have a pilot do it, and you sit in the back and get shit-faced like everybody else that's rich does.
Do lots of cocaine with, you know, your wife and her hot sister.
Yeah. And then think of ways how you're going to explain it to your kids later that watched you, but you thought they were too young to watch you. But, but anyway,
<laughs>
By the way, we all have that moment with our kids, like, does she know what the fuck's going on here? Of course, my wife said, yeah, she's 15.
She's not that dumb.
Yeah. No, she, you know, you have that moment with your kids where you realize they're astute now. You can't get over on them anymore. And we'll get back to that in a sec, but
there's only so long that daddy's cigarette smells skunky.
Yeah. But, well, let me turn my email off. Knew there was something I forgot to do. And it's kind of funny with the JFK thing because it was too soon. And Stacy starts reading the story and the other two guys on the show were over by the board doing something. And I was sitting in the chair. And who started it? Was it me that got you going?
We had been a commercial break and the breaking news had just come over, literally over the wire, yeah, that they had found him and her. You know, they'd found the plane and bodies were inside. He was dead.
Yes.
This was the news that everyone had been waiting for.
So, Stacy starts, this is a special story. Stacy starts reading it, and I extend my arms and start floating. And she starts giggling. This is a very serious news story.
This was, and not taking, imagine the horror of someone laughing the day after 9/11. And yeah, I don't, and anyone want to say that that was anywhere as bad.
Thank you.
But just, you, it's, don't laugh.
Dude that can't fly, Stacy.
I know.
Not an evil hatched earthly plan.
I know. I don't want to. Yeah. It was just one of those moments. It was a huge, at that very moment, news story.
Yeah.
And that was upsetting a lot of people.
And Terry Scott and I were in hysterics because we got her giggling, and Stacy was trying to fight her way through it. And I think it was me that came in and said, "Thank you, Stacy, for that professional and amazing news reporter," or something like that. And then Anyway, we all got called into the office.
Did you? Because yeah. I know David came in and just crawled in and out of my asshole several times.
Oh, mine too.
Okay,
not
good.
Like, lighten up. We had like an 18 share in the morning. We were like, fuck you, that was funny. Get out of here.
It was both the most horrifying and yet the funniest moment in my career. It was awful.
It was like the ultimate Lex and Terry bulletproof phase. We were like, fuck off. It's JFK Jr. He flew his plane into the drink. Get over it. Jesus Christ.
Yes, yeah. But meanwhile, Diva's out front catching all of the hate phone calls.
Yeah. Yeah.
The phones didn't stop ringing for a while.
And we were getting phone calls. Like, one was like, oh my God, that was so fucking funny, to, how dare you?
You bastards.
And we're like, oh, do you know the Kennedys? You know, you've got like good friends with them? Shut up. You know, get out of here. You don't give a shit about him. You know, get your PC ass out of here.
And, you know, the thing was, I was very much one of those people. This was a story that, you know, again, he was hot. I'd always grown up with, you know,
yeah,
John and stuff.
That's what was calling was 30-somethings, you know, that, you know, weren't going to get to bone him now. It's
yes.
Like, got news for you. Soccer mom with a pooch, you weren't going to get to. Sorry. You did see his wife, right? She was fucking stellar.
Yeah, but she had that Ice Queen thing going on. She's kind of Gwyneth Paltrow-esque.
Well, with him, yeah.
But anyone
but the,
with
but the
a...
other guy she was fucking on the side, probably not.
Yes.
And you know both of them are fucking people on the side. Come on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's the rules.
He was a Kennedy. I think that it's just genetically predisposition that you must stick your penis into as many hot, wet snatches as you can.
Yeah, I mean, that's just the way it is.
Yes.
With the Kennedys. I mean, he knew what his dad was like. He probably got to the age where he went, you know, it's okay, I do it too, because dad did it.
He was probably getting, you know, tips from the old Secret Service guys. Well, your dad liked them, you know, right after.
Yeah, your dad, this is how your dad rolled. This is how you get away with it. This is how you do it. I used to love that Stan Kenison bit of about Kennedy in the Oval Office with Marilyn Monroe. He's got, Marilyn Monroe, bent over the bent over the coffee table with your hand on the button. Ah! Ah! The Commander-in-Chief! That's fucking brilliant.
He's another one we lost way too soon.
Oh, God.
And shouldn't have been piloting his own vehicle.
No. I just remember going to see him, and he walks out, and he goes, oh, twins in the front row. Nasty fucking little twins. That's like the first thing out of his mouth. I'm like, oh, this is going to be a great night. And I used to love to watch him fuck with Rodney Dangerfield. That was the best. Sam Kennison was amazing.
I think I appreciate him more than I did back then.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
I showed him to Samantha on YouTube, and she loves him. She goes, oh, my God, he's so funny. I'm like, he's dead.
And that's funny,
too.
And
that's today's lesson. Don't do any heroin. And don't shit.
But he had just gotten clean and had gotten married, like, within a week or something before the accident.
Yeah, sure he did. And,
well.
And don't screw guys and get so fucked up you're crapping all over them. Don't do that.
Oh, did he do that?
Oh, God, yeah. Remember Jessica Hahn? Remember her?
Oh, was that?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, after she screwed up Jim Baker's life, he was, like, fucking around with her. And that's who, and he was, like, so fucking wrecked, he, like, shit all over the place.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Wow, yeah. I would never have remembered that.
Yeah.
But you just brought it all back.
And that was with her.
Look, other famous people, they have horrifying pooping stories,
sure.
too.
Sure. I had one last night.
Uh-oh. What'd you do?
Well, as you know, I've been on a physical fitness barrage.
I know, you stud.
But.
Beefcake.
Last night, Lisa goes, we're watching Ink Master, which is like our show. We love to watch douchebags, you know, fuck up people's bodies. It's like, oh my God, they got to live with that the rest of their lives. What a horrible fucking tattoo that is. But anyway, you know, can I have a piece of pizza? So we order a pizza, and I eat one piece. One piece with cheese and carbs and bread and everything else.
Oh, after you've been really
been,
good.
After I've been pristinely clean for almost a
month. Oh, no. So your body went.
And my body rejected that. Like even, I was up all night.
Oh, yeah. At least you weren't anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, this didn't happen in the middle of, you know, Costco or something.
Right. But I was laying in bed. I woke up like one and, you know, it's like I'm having those cramps you have. And I'm like,
yes.
I'm like, I knew I shouldn't have eaten that. God damn it. Fuck. You know, so I spent like an hour and a half in the bathroom. And then at that point, I'm awake, right? It's like 2:33.
Yeah, you don't fall asleep after that.
Yeah. And then I got to go to work in an hour. So I just stayed up and watched Sons of Anarchy on the DVR. So it wasn't a total loss.
With a raw and stinging butthole.
Yes. Exactly.
It burns.
Very much so.
It burns so much. Make it stop.
It really does.
I think Tux pads help with that.
No, I mean, it was fine. It really was. I mean, it did its thing. And, you know, I just sat there and looked on my phone. And return some emails and, you know, very
conducted business very, while shitting your brains out.
Very efficient with my time. All my friends on the East Coast were like, what the fuck are you doing up? And, you know, the ones on the West Coast were doing, what the fuck are you doing up? It's making fun of all my Dodger friends.
Aww.
I'm so sorry. But secretly, I'm like, not really.
Yeah, the Tigers made me mad.
Yeah.
Screw them, each and every one of them.
The Orioles are just on fire. I think they're
Well, the thing with the Tigers this whole season, you know, they'd go into a series, and the first game they would lose 12-1. Then the next game they would win 15-3. Mm-hmm. There was no, they could not just get it together.
Well, I mean, with Verlander fucking what's her name?
Yes, yeah. She is the Yoko Ono.
She was the Yoko Ono of the Tigers.
Yes.
I mean, he couldn't get the ball over the plate to save his fucking ass while that was going on.
And, you know, I remember, what, just like 2 years ago, he's the one when he pitched. That's everyone, when buying tickets, were like trying to catch the games, you know, when they were like, okay, in rotation, I think Verlander's going to pitch. You know, he's the one everyone wanted to see and everything.
Yeah.
You know, he could whip out those, you know, stupid fastballs.
And one-hitters and no-hitters and... Yeah, when he was undistracted, he was the shit.
And then during this time, you've got Miggy, you know, who was doing, you know, the Babe Ruth pretty much every game, walking out and going over there, you know, and hitting, you know, 2 grand slam home runs a game. It was just really exciting, and it's like, what the hell? So yeah, very angry with
him. It was sick how fucking good Cabrera is.
And you know, he just seems like a really sweet guy. He's the guy that will give you a hug.
Well, yeah. I mean, he doesn't even look like a baseball player.
No. He's just a cutie. Sweet.
A lot of these Hispanic guys are kind of pudgy.
Yes, they got the little baby faces and everything. It's like, coochie, coochie, yeah, coochie,
they look like little leaguers, and then they crush the fucking thing out of the stadium, you know? It's like you don't even look like you have muscles.
You have enough money to buy Venezuela. Coochie, 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 you know.
If you learn the cocaine trade, you're good. You're going to be good to go.
Yes.
You know, but as it stands now, they're going to go down there and kill you and take your money. So, you know, be careful.
Yeah.
But my pirates lost to the douchebags, the Giants.
I'm sorry.
And I hate that team. They are just scuzzball, douchebag, asshole, wanker, fuckstain, asswipes. And they're going to get up against the other asshole, asswipe, wanker, fuckwipes, the Cardinals. And we're going to have somebody that's guaranteed hate in the finals, in the World Series. I hate them both. I hope the Royals or the Orioles beat the shit out of them. And I just can't wait. I hope it's the Royals because they're just right across the river, you know?
Right.
And it would do my heart good to see them just beat the mess out of them. But... things don't go my way in baseball.
I was going to say, I admit I'm done. I listened faithfully to the Tigers this year, and I'm done with baseball. I'll try again next year.
You know what a Florida Gator fan I am. I mean, just crazy, rabid Gator fan. And this past weekend, they have Jeff Driscoll in at quarterback who sucks. He sucks. Just bad. He was like the most sought-after quarterback in high school, and Florida gets him, and everybody's like, we got the number one quarterback prospect in the nation. Well, he sucks. He couldn't read Dr. Seuss, let alone defenses. And he finally, Tennessee is up 9-0, and Will Muschamp finally takes him out of the game and puts in this young black freshman stud named Treon Harris.
Yes.
And this guy is just slinging it over the all over the field, and he's running for first downs, and the offense all of a sudden looks like fucking Peyton Manning, you know, like they're just moving the ball all over the place. And I'm like, yes. You know, it's like, yes, our black stud quarterback, finally, God, yes, thank you, God. 8 hours later, sexual assault by Treon Harris, indefinitely suspended from the team.
Good. Good that they suspended him. Not if, good that he did it.
If he,
but
did, if he did it.
If he did it, yes.
Yeah.
You know, I, you know, with everything that has happened now this season with the NFL and everything, I honestly just have such a bad attitude about sports. I just think that these guys get paid way too much for honestly not really doing too much to better humanity and society. And
well,
you
that's
know,
not their fucking job, Stacey. Their job's to entertain the masses who are out there doing things for society and stuff like that. But their job is plain and clear, and that's to entertain us in our spare time. That's a, that, and if it's not them, it's going to be somebody else playing some other sport. So that's the way I look at it. We have to get our gladiator entertainment at some point.
I know. I just don't think they need to do it for the millions and millions of dollars they do, and then, you know, be allowed to run loose and, do the shit that they've been doing.
I'm okay with them getting paid, and here's why. Because they only get to play an average of 4 years per player. That's ever gone through the NFL, the whole average when it's said and done is 4 years.
Right.
So, you know, I since the career's that short, I'm okay with them getting paid. I'm not okay with them thumping their wives or beating their kids or any of that stuff. I'm not cool with that. But I am cool with them getting paid. And I will say, you know, what kind of lesson does it send in Ray Rice's case? This guy does the right thing for the most part and admits what he did. Yeah, so much so, he even went into the office of his own team and to the NFL office and said, here's what happened off camera. That's before the other video came out, which we found out was in the NFL's hands the whole time. And admitted to everything that was on it. Told the complete truth. His wife pretty much stood by his side and said, we're going to get through this. We're going to figure this out. You know, so to me, he did everything he could
to save his ass, though. The ultimate act, though, is that he did it. You know, it's like anyone who does something that they feel is shitty and then goes and finds Jesus after the fact.
Yeah, but he's basically getting a deferred adjudication out of this, and it's probably going to be expunged from his record. So therefore, there are no charges, there are no anything, and he told the truth. And he's in therapy, and he's in rehabilitation and all that stuff. He's doing everything possible, yet because of everybody else who isn't so forthcoming and isn't so revealing, he's going to probably never play again.
And he should have thought about that before he knocked her out and dragged her out of the elevator.
Yeah.
And let some other guy come up to her to see if she's okay. Again, it's like any felon, you know, any criminal in prison who finds Jesus after the fact. Yes, he did everything right afterwards, but ultimately he did it.
Yeah, but can't you say that about all of us as far as...
Yeah,
maybe
and you
not,
know,
maybe nothing to that degree, but don't you want a second chance or a backseat on something?
I guess, though, at what point do you know? I know what you're saying, and I agree, you know, and it's different for a second grader to steal, be caught stealing a candy bar at the convenience store. You know, should that child, you know, be shunned from society for the rest of his life? Of course not.
No, he should be sent to Adrian Peterson's house. Sorry, it's a bad joke.
It was. You know, I understand what you're saying. I guess, you know, it's just, What limits? What is the limit between, you know, it's okay and it's not okay? And I don't have an answer for that, but, you know, that one to me just seems like it's not okay.
Yeah. It's,
Have you ever touched a woman that way? I mean, you know, hit, slapped, pushed.
No, but I've had one hit me that way while I'm completely defenseless to do anything about it.
But you didn't do anything about it.
I called the police. Let's say,
I know, but you know what I'm saying? You could have.
So while she's calling me a pussy for calling the police, but I'm like, hey, I can't beat your ass, so I have to call the police.
Right. And that makes you a wonderful person. You do know that, right?
Yeah. You know, it's.
I do not think it's fair that women, you know, get more of a free ride, you know, free chance, whatever, get out of free, get out of jail free. Well, yeah.
You know, but I even told the cop, I said, don't take her to jail. Don't do that.
It's my kid's birthday.
Yeah.
Please. Yeah, we just became that family on cops.
We did. We did. Oh, God.
Bad boys. What you can do.
I said, don't take her to jail. He goes, you're bleeding. I went, so? He goes, that's the tiebreaker as far as going to jail. I went, well, it's just a little bit. You know. It's a real contentious part, you know, of the relationship.
See, that's funny because once upon a time when I was made to bleed and I was, you know, beside myself and the only thing I could do was spit blood back at him, he didn't get sent to jail because, well, there was blood on both of us.
Yeah, well, you know how we wanted to handle that.
Yes.
I don't know where he went. He's kind of a loner.
Quiet.
I had gold grill and hoodie money. Just saying.
Yeah.
We were having all kinds of powwows about how we were going to make your pain stop. But the whole thing took care of itself.
Yes, it did.
So.
And look at me, in a much better place now.
Much better place.
Yes. God bless Michigan. Yeah. And I mean that sincerely.
Wolverines!
Spartans.
Oh, you're onto the Spartans now?
I actually attended MSU.
Did you?
I did.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
Well, they got a good little team.
I know. The Wolverines don't.
No. No, they're a hot mess, aren't they?
I feel bad because, you know, my brother and my husband are both big U of M fans.
Oh, you don't get like,
a I'm shit. Not even asking. I'm not even saying anything this season, you know. No little needling texts or anything. Just letting it go.
And you've been shoving it up their ass in basketball for like 15 years, too. Remember when they had it going on, you know, Desmond Howard and the Fab Five and the, oh, we're badass, fuck yeah. You know, you ain't shit now.
Remedial Robinson.
Yeah. And it's kind of sad. This Brady Hoke guy seems like he's all right. You know, he seems like.
Well, and what happened? Because I really didn't pay attention other than I know that their quarterback was out there like fainting on the field or something from a concussion.
He got rocked with a concussion and somehow he ended up back out there and nobody said anything. That's a pretty big giveaway that nobody's paying attention.
Well, I guess because Somehow Brady Hoke said it had he had nothing to do with it. He had no say in that. It had everything to do with, I don't know, the medical team or,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
whatever.
Do you picture Nick Saban saying that? I don't.
It's like, so what? They're the ones telling you who can play and who can't? I don't get that.
Nick Saban, he's such a power freak. He would say, he goes, yeah, it's inexcusable. That's completely on me, you know, for that happening. Which Brady Hoke kind of said after he tried to dance around it.
Right.
But any real head coach would have just said, yeah, that's all on me. That's all stuff I should handle. That's all stuff I should oversee. That's all on me. Because it is.
Yeah, that's what I would think. Again, I don't know the inner workings of this stuff, but I was really surprised. It was like, well, I had no say in it. You know, it's the whoever, you know, the trainers or whatever. And it's like,
yeah, be like a program director of a radio station blaming the ratings on a weekender. You know, it's
yes, or the engineer,
which I did a couple times.
I believe that.
It's like your Saturday afternoon sucks so bad it brought the rest of us down.
Would that have been David Michaels?
No, huh? No, it was Bradley Bacon.
I do not remember him. That was way before my time.
Yeah, he's passed away. God rest his soul. But he first time I was back from California as the program director, we're in a meeting, you know, and the ratings aren't good. We're bringing the station back. People are kind of fucking off. I was real testy. And you may have even been in this meeting.
No.
And I'm like going Glengarry, Glenn Ross on all these motherfuckers. And you're like, you know, you're not doing this. You're not doing that. You're not paying attention to detail. You know, just fucking going off on them, you know. And there's like a pause afterwards. Nobody's saying anything. And we're all just looking at each other. And he raises his hand and he goes, can I have this weekend off?
That is so radio.
Yeah. And I went, what do you do here, Bradley? I'm new. I just came back. What do you do? He goes, I do weekends. I said, well, there you go. No. No, you can't have it off because you do what? Weekends? That's right. So you do weekends and you take the weekend off, isn't it true that you're really not here? And people are looking at him like, you dumb motherfucker.
Yes. You could hear a collection of assholes pucker shut right then. Like, really? Are you?
I mean, I had just ripped new assholes. I mean, just... You know, it's the only time I ever did it my whole career. You know, it because everybody was just didn't have their head in the game. Everybody had their head up their ass, and that's why I called the meeting. You know, because the guy I replaced was just letting the asylum run things, and I was like, oh my God, this place is out of control. You know, so. It was one of those, you're going to do this, and you're going to do that, and you're going to do that. No more fucking off. No more coming and going as you please. No more, you know, this kind of shit, you know.
So basically, you sucked the joy out of everyone's workplace.
I did.
Good man.
With a giant straw. Within 5 minutes, it was going.
It's
the end
of
your joy. It's into your joy shake. So I'm tearing him up with one-liners. Terry's laughing and everything. And he comes up to me after the meeting. He goes, my mom's sick with cancer. And I just looked at him. I went, just tapped him on the shoulder and went, of course you can have the weekend off. I said, and by the way, just a tip, you may want to lead with that next time.
Yes.
So I don't look like a supreme asshole.
How David Moore-esque of you.
I said, I will not forget that. He goes, I'm sorry. I'm like, that's fine. Get out of here.
See, no, I actually did that to get the Christmas of 1994 off because I went to my boss. And sadly, I was like half joking. But yeah. I said, you know, my dad has cancer, as you know. And, you know, this might be the last Christmas I get to spend with him. Could I have Christmas Day off?
And he said no. Last Christmas was the last Christmas you spent with him. That's what I would have said.
And he, of course, gave me he died 2 weeks later. So, yeah, it was the last Christmas and the last few weeks of his life. So, but I always felt kind of bad because I was kind of working that up a little bit. But as it turns out, it all worked out. So,
yeah. My mom died of cancer. I took one day off. I was miserable. It was like my wife was on her sixth, are you okay? And I'm like, I'm so going back to work.
I know.
Yeah. She meant well, but I was just like, I can't hear you ask that again. Okay. let me tell you to your face, yes, I'm okay. It's my mom who isn't. You don't have to be like that.
Well, actually, she was dead, Lex. She didn't feel any more pain.
I guess. Whatever the case is. it's a blur. It's not a really vivid memory. It was awful.
Yeah.
For those of you that have your parents still, enjoy them.
In any way that you can.
Yeah.
You know, most people realize that there are things about your parents that bug the ever-loving out of you.
Fuck yeah.
But try to focus on the things that don't bug you quite so much.
My parents were the picture of imperfection. And I love them for it. How they made it through all the shit they did just blows my mind. Because he was a very successful car salesman, he had his own dealership. And she...
Was it Staley Ford?
No, Dodge.
Really? Staley Dodge?
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
When Dodge was the shit, you know, with the Super Bs and the you know, Superchargers and all that stuff. It's when they were the deal. And the Dodge Dart was the Toyota Corolla of the day with a straight six and 27 miles to the gallon and just a great car. And my dad... I'm pretty sure, I never knew for sure, but I'm pretty sure it was a Playa. And turned out my mom was too.
Yes. God bless her.
Yeah. Made herself happy with the same guy when things weren't going her way for 35 years. She was married, he was married. They did what they could throughout that whole period of time. And that's why she never said a word to my dad. Yet, in the end, they loved each other. They made it all the way through without getting divorced or anything. Very strange relationship, but yet the more I go through life, the more sense it makes.
I think, again, it just goes to show everybody has their own thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, no matter how imperfect your thing is, it's the people that you least suspect probably have something a little more fucked up than you do.
Mm-hmm. I believe so. I truly do. But in the end, I think they loved each other. I think, I think my mom really missed my dad after he passed away. But she was still with that other guy, too.
And left you
some epic pictures.
Yes.
Here, sis.
That is up there with one of the all-time greatest stories. I've told people that story. I have actually sat my mother down and said, Mom, this is what happens. So do not, if you have anything, while you are still in your right mind and physically capable, if you have anything anywhere like that, get rid of it now.
Yeah, because I don't want to see your genitals.
And you will kill your son if he sees it.
Mm-hmm.
He will just keel over. His head will literally explode.
Yeah, to me, it was the equivalent of looking into an eclipse. You know, it's just like, whoa! Hey.
And it's burned. Yeah, the silhouettes are just burned into your retinas.
Yeah, I didn't mean to see my mom doing that, but here, sis.
Share in my pain now.
I still remember the, just all the air got sucked out of the room. It's like,
more joy sucking that you've done. It was like you killed Santa and the Tooth Fairy for her right then and there.
You want to hear a great story about that?
Sure.
Sandy, Samantha, and I are riding in the car. And we got two of our friends' kids. And Samantha goes, you don't really believe in Santa Claus anymore. And I look over at Sandy and she's just stewing. Like, why'd you blow that for that little girl? Because one of the girls was a little younger than the other two.
Right.
Yeah. So we drop them off and everything. And, you know, Sandy, who's, you know, very tit for tat, says, why'd you tell that little girl there's no Santa Claus? You know, but she's younger than you. She may still believe in him. And, you know, that was a pretty messed up thing to do. How do you feel about that? And Sam goes, I wasn't thinking. I'm sorry. And she goes, how would you like it if I told you there's no Easter Bunny? And Sam goes, there's no Easter Bunny? And I just looked at her. I went, way to go. There's no Easter Bunny. I'll never forget it. The tone of it. It was just. I have three great Samantha stories. She was on an elite soccer team, and they were 11 years old. And in our borough, Prosper, it was mandatory every year that the 11-year-olds played the 11 and 12-year-olds played the 13 and 14-year-olds in a game, which was usually about 10 to 1, 10 to 2, 14 to 1, something like that. Well, these little girls, with about 5 minutes left in the game, have a 0-0 tie going.
Oh, my God.
The goaltender was playing out of her mind. They were actually getting deep into their territory and causing problems and almost scoring. I mean, it was awesome. Because the physical difference between 11 and 12s and 13 and 14s is huge.
Right.
You know, it just is.
Now, was this all girls or
all
was
girls,
this co-ed?
Yeah. Okay. All girls. Well, finally, the star girl on the older team is coming down the field one-on-one with Samantha. And Samantha kind of lackadaisically lets her go by, and she scores. So we're in the car, and we're just riding away in silence, and Samantha goes, we lost, and it was all my fault. And we turn around at the same time and go, Yeah, pretty much. that was not good. What happened there? Yeah. But you know what? It's not. It doesn't define your life. You'll get by.
Because it's not like your father will be telling this years later on a podcast.
Yeah. And she goes, why aren't you feel bad for me? I went, gosh, you lost it for us. We're pissed. We're like laughing. It's like, yeah, we're incensed. We had them. You know, it's all your fault. Sorry, we're competitive. You fucked us. It's just... I didn't say that, but I was like, like you completely screwed us over.
Like that scene in Parenthood where Steve Martin's daydreaming about his son catching the ball, and then the next daydream is him up in the bell tower picking people off.
And the third story, this is one of these things where Sam did something really wrong, was completely going to get a little bit of discipline. So she was too old for me to spank her anymore.
Oh. At what age does that happen? I'm not a parent.
Around 10-ish, you know, 9-ish, 10-ish. You know, it's like...
Does it involve when they get boobies?
No, even before.
Okay.
You know, there's definitely a time where you walk in and go, okay, I can't do that anymore. She's not a little kid. She's, you know, the mom's going to have to handle this.
Right.
So we're in her room and we're, you know, disciplining her and all this stuff. And Sandy's trying to, you know, she's just spank her a couple times, and she's getting older and stronger, and she's kind of warding her off.
Oh.
And Sandy looks on her dresser, and there's a Dave and Buster's paddle ball on there.
Oh, no.
And she rips the ball and rubber band off of it and looks at her and goes, thanks for winning this. I went, you've never been more attractive to me. I just want to let you know. She's like, shut up.
Mommy and Daddy have to go away for a few minutes, but we'll be right back. Don't move.
Yeah, just keep that defensive position, right? We'll be right. And but it was like, it was so calculating. It was, thanks for winning this. I was like, God damn, who are you? And I said, God damn, you're in so much trouble. I've never seen this.
You've really, this is Daddy's an office.
Yeah, you've really poked the bear on this one. I'm actually saying shit like that to her. It's like, man, I wouldn't want to be you. I don't think this defensive position is going to work very well for you.
That's awesome. Yeah.
So that's my tri-series of Sam and parent stories.
See, my parents, I guess, not really anything like that. I was actually, believe it or not, the good kid. My brother, typical boy, I guess, got into everything, broke everything, you know. But when I was in fifth grade, my mom came to me and said, I think it's time that we get you some bras. And I was just mortified because, you know, we did not talk about anything, you know, it was just horrifying to me that my mother was talking to me about bras.
Yeah.
And so she ordered them, whatever. And it was just like, okay, I need to still process this. This was like, you know, before dinner, you know, kind of thing. And it's just like, I have a lot to think through right now that my mother has talked to me about bras, that I'm going to have to wear a bra. All the boys are going to know that I have a bra because you can see it through your shirt. You know, it's just this very traumatic thing. And we have dinner and we're sitting there eating. And my mother just announces to my father and little brother, I ordered Stacy bras today. And you could have just, I've never been so horrified.
Yeah. And so was your dad, by the way.
Yeah, he, to his credit, there wasn't even a flinch. He just kept steadily shoveling food into his mouth. And my brother, if I was in fifth grade, he would have been in first grade. And he goes, "What'd you get me?"
A sister with tits.
That was then. And then, of course, when I started my period in sixth grade, after mom had come to me and explained some things and all that, as she was leaving my bedroom, I heard that whisper. My dad is coming down the hall because he has terrible timing. And I heard the whisper, "Bless her, Stacy started her period." And I hear, "Oh," and that was it. And then there was nothing. You know, I can't remember because I don't think I looked in my father's eyes for a few days afterwards.
Yeah, my favorite insensitive, period question from a kid in school was, "Who shot you in the crotch?" And he meant it.
God.
It's like, hey, dude, you need to go home and have a talk with your parents. Tell them what happened. just tell them what you saw that and tell them what you said. They'll take care of it. Hopefully.
I can't, I don't know, because everything seems much more open than it was even 25 years ago when I was in school. I just know for me personally, the period thing has always been very traumatic and awful. And, you know, it would just be nice if little boys realized that girls don't really particularly dig it. And it's just as horrifying as to us. And so why do you just pretend you don't mention it until you're out of college and more able to deal with it?
I actually told a girl in high school, she didn't know she was leaking. She had white pants on.
Oh, God.
And I grabbed her and put my jacket or whatever I had around her waist. And I said, "You need to get under the nurse's office."
That's really sweet of you.
And 10 years later, she was dating Al. Remember Al, Mr. Dare?
Really?
Yeah. And he came in and introduced me to her, and I went, "Oh, I know you. I went to school with you." And she goes, "Yeah, I know you too. You did a really nice thing for me one time."
Yes.
And I went, "Yeah, for me, that was nice." She goes, "I listen to you now and go, I can't possibly think that's the same guy." And I went, "Well, thanks."
That is actually, honestly, just about the sweetest thing ever.
And I looked at Al and I went, I kept everybody from seeing her period the first time. And she goes, "Oh, my God.
I don't even poop in front of him yet. I can't believe you told him that."
I said, "That's right. I've changed." So
that's a very sweet story. You know, it just makes me love you even more.
Yeah, I mean, she had no idea.
We don't when that happens,
I have an older sister, so I kind of know what the deal was. You know, because after all, she did evil things to me, like gave me one as a Band-Aid once. And, yeah, true story.
Lex, the big Kotex.
Yeah. Yep. That's how that started. I'm running around playing football with a skin knee with a tampon on it.
The little string waving.
And I remember her standing at the front door just laughing. With my mom. I'm like, "What's so funny?" It's like, my mom's like, "Let's change your bandage out." I'm like, "Oh, no, I like this one. It's got pads and stuff. I don't know what this string shit is, but sure."
Well, it's for easy removal from your wound,
my sister
Lex.
Goes, "That's a tampon, you idiot." And I said, "Well, what's that?" And my mom looks at her like, "Thanks a lot."
Great. I was hoping not to have this talk for 3 years.
Yeah, my mom sits down and goes, "You know, I'm like 10 years old, you know." And my mom sits down and goes, "Once a month, women bleed." And I'm like, Really? I was like, is there somebody hit you or something? Or
with your big, big doughy eyes, you know, that blink, yeah. blink, blink. I yeah. didn't understand. Blink, and she, blink.
And she goes, no. She goes, it's just something that happens to girls and not boys. I'm like, well, thank God.
I know. Who would sign up for that yeah. if you could, you know?
Yeah. And so that's how I learned about it, because my sister was a bitch.
Now, see, for me, and luckily I never had to, but when it was when, like, in fourth grade, I think, when girls are first, you know, they take all the girls into another room and we have a film strip and they talk about what happens to a girl and everything, you know, and boys, I don't think, are told anything at that point, but then we all kind of revisit it again in sixth grade. At least this is what happened for us. And at that point, boys get some education of their own. I have no idea.
Yeah.
But I was at that age where it was, you know, the little old nurse who comes in and then shows you this contraption, which was like the straps and stirrups and things, because back then they didn't have like the adhesive strips on pads. So women wore like the strappy thing that went around their waist and stuff.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh my God, what is this? Mm-hmm. But my mom's like, no, 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 no. Here. These things are great. You know? Yeah. It's like, oh, thank God, because I couldn't imagine trying to mm-hmm. deal with that strappy thing.
No.
The belt, I guess.
So anyway, my sister doing that horrifying thing to me kind of educated me, and I helped out Al's girlfriend, you know, before 10 years before he met her. So,
that was really nice of you.
Yeah,
honestly.
Yeah, it was. But part of me wanted to go, oh my God! All right.
You.
So we're done, Stacy. We will have another threesome podcast for you next week. Great talk with you as always, hon.
I love you.
And I love you back. And we will have another threesome podcast next week. Like I said, want to thank DBC and Drew Hillis for making LT2 possible. Remember, you can get past episodes on iTunes. And how do they do that, Stacy?
Well, the easiest way, go to threesomepodcast.com. That's where you can get the apps for the LT2 channel. You can listen live to the LT2 channel there. And then there's all the links for iTunes. And, you know, if you're Android, there's Blueberry, Stitcher, and others. Basically, everything you need is at threesomepodcast.com.
So there you go. And Stacy, I love you. Goodbye. And we'll see you next week.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Next and Stacy's threesome.